Okay, on page 235 of the agenda, solar infrastructure on council buildings. Councillor Pryor to move. Go for it.
Okay. I guess this is the culmination of a little bit of work. I've got a quick question for Anne, which is get the pain out of the way first, and then we'll go on to the better stuff. Did we try and match this funding at all through any sources? And I guess why, you know, did we try and get a match grant from government or from anyone this main?
At this point, there weren't any that we identified. That certainly could be through the procurement process. I think we've mentioned in the report looking at solar power purchase agreements, which means that we don't pay the upfront capital. But again, that would need to be weighed up through that procurement process. In terms of an outright grant, no.
Okay, so there just wasn't any money out there for this sort of stuff?
Not for this size.
Not this size, yeah. Okay. Look, I guess I'm really happy with the outcome. I think that regardless of what we do from this point, we probably would have done all this stuff anyway. This is all the easy stuff. This is all the sort of straight up, oh, look, let's put 20 kilowatts here and 40 kilowatts here. There's no complications to it, I don't think, and it didn't quite fulfil the whole budget. So what we do with the rest of the budget money is that's going to be the fancy stuff, I believe, like maybe some car park solar. I think there's a few candidates for that. I'm happy with the motion as written with one amendment, and my amendment's only a little one. Okay. That's true, is my motion. And that was when we were receiving a further report on innovative solar options for the administration building and the Cove Civic Centre, because I think the Cove Civic Centre is a little underdone, and whether there's anything else we can do there. It might be worth us pursuing that in the future. So that's where we stand.
Is that seconded? I'll first ask if there's a seconder. Councillor Hull, reserve the right to speak. A question from Councillor Byron.
Thank you. Just a couple of things, and it was further on that funding question that was asked by Councillor Pryor, and that was about grant funding. I wanted to ask the question about partnership funding and whether we have looked at what partnerships we could do in the community. That was the first question. The second question is a query, and with want to discuss this with the mover, as to the admin building, and if we're going to be looking at the admin building and the future of that in the infrastructure committee, I wonder about the value of actually moving ahead with this at the moment for the admin building, or whether that should be the latter part of consideration. I put that as a question.
Perhaps Ms. Gibbons, would you like to comment? At least on that, yes.
Through the chair, in terms of partnership funding, again, that could be explored through the solar power purchase agreement. So, where you work with a provider to provide the panels at no cost to council, and then we have an agreement in place to purchase the power back. That again would be something that would be explored through the a procurement process that we would run. That would be a competitive process. So, yes, there could be some partnerships.
I can add to that that it was 2 or 3 months ago, I think, that I met with Greg Hunt, the Federal Environment Minister. Ms. Gibbons was there as well, and another staff member, I think. And Minister Hunt was extremely enthusiastic about possibilities for federal assistance one way or another, but on closer examination, none of them were really suitable for what we're doing. But certainly the possibilities were thoroughly looked into. In relation to the admin building, I think we just leave that for Councillor Pryor to address in reply. Ms. Gibbons, did you have anything to add to that? It's possibly because it's a hypothetical, Councillor Byron. It's a bit difficult to deal with, but I don't think anyone's going to be up on the roof tomorrow. You know what I mean? Councillor Gard. Councillor Hull was seconding, and he's going to speak. now.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I welcome Councillor Pryor's motion a lot. This has been a long time coming. The previous CEO and administration didn't want to have a bar of this, as Mr. Vincent Mifsud would remember when I asked questions about this. Basically, the bottom line, Councillor, will not work out. The bottom line doesn't suffer. We know that that's not true. Mr. Mayor, the cat is out of the bag now with the endeavours of certain people here in regards to building a new council chambers. And it's something that I've resisted talking about in the community because I didn't think that it might have been good team playing to do that. But now the cat's out of the bag, I will be discussing this with my community. Because it now affects a motion like this, where the system to be put on this building is the smallest of all of them in our city, on our council buildings. Why would that be when this is the administration centre? This is where the energy use is during the day with all the staff and activity. Why would we put the smallest system on this building if there's another agenda? Now, Councillor Byram has now revealed what that agenda might be. I welcome that. And I will be now actively pursuing community debate about that because I think this building should have the most on it. It should have the most solar panels on it. And ultimately, it should have the most batteries down in the undercroft to actually help light this place up at night. That's 5 or 6 years away, I would think. But in this report, it talks about 14 kilowatts, where even Trott Park Community Centre is getting 15 kilowatts. So think about that. But look, you know, this is a start. The way I've got to look at this motion in a positive sense, this is a very good start. But it does create a debate for the future expansion of our solar energy systems, because this is only the beginning, clearly. This is only the beginning. And other energy sources as well, maybe wind. Maybe even collaborating with other councils at Peppers Creek. I've raised that a number of times, and I hope Councillor Crossan keeps conveying that back to them, because that's where the big runs on the board could be, in my opinion, because we're already doing it with methane gas down there already. So whilst I support this wholeheartedly, it actually raises more questions than it does answers in terms of what the council's intent is with this building and the appropriate resourcing of the building for solar capture, energy efficiency and reducing the overall cost of energy for the citizens of the city with this building.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. And to assist you with communicating with your constituents about this particular building, you can note the various comments on pages 246, 247 about access challenges that are repeatedly referred to, limited roof area suitable for cost-effective solar, and so on, but significant safety considerations, etc., suboptimal orientation, etc. Now, is anyone speaking against the motion? A question, Councillor Gard?
My motion does refer partly to what Councillor Hull was just saying, and that is that should we not have, considering that this is an all-encompassing exercise with our major premises, should we not have an additional notation that this will become the policy, the future policy of this council, if and when we further develop, or if we see other opportunities? In other words, lock it in rather than make it a piecemeal motion.
Would Ms. Gibbons, anyone? Ms. Gibbons, if you'd like to offer something in reply?
Through the chair, I'll just raise awareness. There's a climate change policy that's currently being developed, which calls for a range of different considerations that could include solar on new build. I mean, it's quite general, but again, that would be the policy setting perhaps that, this could be picked up.
Question from Councillor Valescu.
I'd like staff to outline exactly why this building is not being considered for a for the meeting and for the record. Why we're not getting more than 14 kilowatts as proposed for this building, for administration building.
Sure. Ms. Gibbons.
So it's also on the record for people listening in at home.
Through the chair. If you'll, I'll draw your attention to page 246 and 247 of your report, where it talks about the increased technical difficulty for this site, hence the recommendation number 5, I think it is, which is asking for some further investigation to look at additional options for this site. What are the problems? Okay, well, let me read. Where are we? Okay. Yep, so there was this one here. So avoid installing panels on the semicircular roof at the building entrance. There are flag poles that contribute to shading hazards, and the circular nature of the roof means purlin spacing is highly variable and make installation difficult and contribute to poor aesthetics. We have challenges. This one here. Yeah, for challenges for installation regarding the slope and safety for installers that would need to be addressed.
I'll just cut in there. What I'm picking up is that staff aren't able to add anything to what's in the report from the consultant. So I'd suggest the only way of following that through is going to be between meetings to engage further with the consultant.
If I can point out that you have to wear a harness. Well, they'd have to wear a harness on any building. Like, and flagpoles? Like, it's...
Well, as I say, if you have issues with the consultant's report, obviously we don't have the consultant here right now. There are issues that can be taken up before this meeting, preferably, or after this meeting. Does the mover wish to speak and reply a little bit?
Yeah, very briefly. Like I said, this is all the low-hanging fruit. Okay, it just so happens the admin building roof doesn't have the exact structure that we'd like to put a heap of solar panels up there. It's not a big issue. We do have some more money in the fund, and the future report, which will come to us, will outline some maybe more innovative solutions for our admin building. And it, like I said, I'd like to include the Cove Civic Centre in that as well, because I think there is scope there for some more take up of solar. So I guess in reference to any other thing with the admin building, we may well progress with that last. I think because of the report coming about future innovative ways we can put solar capabilities onto our admin building or next to our admin building, so we may progress with that last, and that may allay some of the fears of any of the other members around the place. Thank you.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Thank you. On to page 259 of the agenda, Clovelly Park Netball Court Redevelopment. Now, in relation to this matter, members are very well aware that a correspondent to the Messenger newspaper made an allegation that a Marion councillor had a daughter playing netball at the site, and allegedly this was a reason for intervention at the site. So this would be a good time to put on the record if anybody has a daughter, stepdaughter, granddaughter or niece playing netball at that particular site, and the silence is deafening, and clearly the correspondent, the messenger, was wrong. So if there is further correspondence about it, we'll be able to respond very firmly against the allegation. Now, who would like to move an appropriate motion? Councillor Pfeiffer.
So Thank you, Your Worship. I'll do so happily, and I'll note in saying so that my daughter's 23 months old, so not exactly a netballer yet. Although she does throw stuff really well. Yeah. I got hit by a matchbox car the other day. Your Worship, I'll move this motion, and I'll move for the metal halide lights, which are the slightly cheaper option in this example. Your Worship, my reason for doing so, although I personally prefer LEDs, you'll read in the report that they don't do exactly what's required at this particular site for this particular job, and I also note that they won't be on quite as often or as extensively as say a streetlight would be. So I think in this example you go with the tools that actually do the job. So I'll move that one. Your Worship, this particular motion, it's consistent with the last netball motion that went through. It's also consistent with the tennis and netball, the point 8 of the tennis and netball motion that's coming up. Your Worship, they have the club currently has $27,500 that they're wanting to throw at this redevelopment. There's $20,000 from the feds that they also have at the moment, and you'll note that within the wording of this particular motion, it's also our contribution is contingent on them also getting an extra $32,500 from the state government. So therefore, it's a $64,000 investment for us with a $80,000 coming from them. So it's pretty good odds in my books. Your Worship, yeah, look, I'll leave it at that and commend the motion to Council.
Is that seconded? Councillor Carey, did you wish to speak?
Yes, I'd just like to echo what Councillor Fiver has said. I mean, whilst I acknowledge the fact that we do have a motion coming up in relation to the tennis courts and netball courts at the next motion, I think it's still important. If we don't pass this motion tonight, it'll be another year before they get it. As Councillor Tim Pfeiffer said, is that they've already got a $27,500 contribution from their club. They've got $20,000 coming from the federal government, which is notated in the report. And they're also asking $32,000 from the $500 from the Department of Sport and Recreation. They're also going to increase the number of courts from 2 to 6, and also they're going to upgrade the 2 netball courts from 2 to 4. So I suggest that it's probably a small contribution that comes from the council. They're not expecting us to fund the whole project. They've got 350 members across the board in Marion Council. They're spread out throughout the council, so I think it's a worthy project that we can contribute to.
Anyone speaking in opposition? A question, Councillor Crossland.
A couple of questions, if I may, Your Worship. The first one is, realised when I brought my motion earlier this year, there was a question of process in that you couldn't ask for money, you could only ask for it to be considered in the next budget review. I just would like some comments from yourself on the process.
Well, that's a good point. Councillor Pfeiffer, well, maybe I should ask staff who are bringing it forward. How has it come up in this manner? Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, this is seeking partnership funding from Council's CFPP fund, so from the Asset Sustainability Reserve. The proposal put forward by the club is they've also sought other funding. They are contributing their own funds and have sought grant funding as well. So it could be considered by Council as a once-off partnering funding process towards.
And as I remember, Councillor Crossland, the objection when it came up to using that same fund in relation to how the Cove Netball, there was, I think we were putting in a quarter or a third, whereas here we're putting in less than half. So,
does that no, the objection was yours based on the process for any application for funds could only be considered during a budget review.
All right, I take your point. Councillor Blescu?
Let me just clarify if there are any timeliness issues here as well that the club have raised. Are we aware of any? If other staff members that are here today may be able to clarify as well.
Through the chair, I didn't hear what type of issue.
Timeliness issues. So is there any reason that the club needs confirmation of support from the council at this stage? So do they need it to be able to get a grant? Do they need it to move forward before the next season, that sort of stuff? Can we clarify that, please?
Through the chair, as the report indicates, there is an application in for a grant of $32,500. I think if there is evidence of council funding, that strengthens the application. But if council wanted to postpone that, then it could be noted.
My question wasn't answered. Is there any timeliness issues as far as this being done by a certain time as far as the club is concerned? If there's any other staff member that might be able to clarify that, that would be great. Because I understand, you know, can't be on top of all the details of all every single thing.
Anything to add, Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, the information that we've got tonight is becoming logistically difficult for the netball club, so they're keen to see that, but we can check with the club if there's any time, but I'm not aware, and staff unaware tonight, that there's any issues in terms of timing.
Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, I did have another question. I'm aware that these facilities are part of the tennis and netball review. I don't recall any motion or decision made, particularly in the northern end of our city, as to which tennis courts are staying and which are not staying. And I can't quite understand how this one is going forward for funding when we don't know which ones are going to be removed and which ones are remaining in that end of the city, unless I missed that debate.
I'm guessing it's because of the fact that they've got some money and they've applied for some more money, that's why it's come forward. But
in that case, can I move a deferral? Because we don't seem to have the correct information. And when this came up very similar before, I know that the process issue is the main stumbling block. And I think I do recall Councillor Pfeiffer and Kerry both voted against it on process.
Adjourning to a specific meeting?
I think it should be after the decision on the tennis and netball clubs, when that's actually been debated.
Well, pick a date between sort of 3 and 24 months, I suppose.
Point of order, Your Worship. This was actually part of the last motion that went through on the 26th of April. I can cite part of it if you'd like.
The point of order, can you explain the point of order, please?
For a planned population of 90,000, in line with advice in tennis and netball facilities report over the next 5 annual budgets, council commits to the retention, maintenance and stage improvement with the priority for 16-17 budget to those clubs offering access to grants under the CFPP of the following. And I look to point B, netball courts being 20, noting the use of competition courts, Etzel Park, South Parklands, Adelaide, and the second one on the list there is 6 for the Wildcats at Clovelly Park.
So, Councillor Pfeiffer, what are you saying, that was in the general tennis and netball report? I'm just trying to follow that.
Your Worship, that was in the motion that was passed on the 26th of April. We have a copy of the motion on page 276 of tonight's agenda.
Well, thank you. Let's just have a look at that. Right, so I see. Council commits to the retention, maintenance and stage improvement with priority in the 2016-17 budget to those clubs, etc. And the Wildcats Clovelly Park is one of those clubs. So does that change your view, Councillor Crossland?
It only raises another question. Why are we considering debating it? If Councillor Pfeiffer is correct, the list of clubs staying is already on that list. There is no debate on tennis and netball.
There would need to be a debate to allocate the money in this budget. I presume that's why it's come to this meeting. But, Councillor Crossland, it's with you. Do you wish to move an adjournment or not?
Yeah, I'll still move the deferral on the fact that the process is not being followed, and unless the unless it's going to be reworded, then it needs to be deferred.
Sure. Can you pick a specific meeting or month?
We'll go 3 months from today.
Council meeting in September. Ms. Dixon's just advised me that the Office of Rec and Sport announcements in August. In September, our meeting. Did you just want?
Yes,
the 27th of September. So that's part of Councillor Crossland's motion. Is that seconded, Councillor Byram? I'll put it's a procedural motion. I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? The motion is defeated. So we'll press on for now with the motion. Those who haven't spoken. Councillor Gard is just... go ahead.
Yes, having regard for everything that's been said so far, it does beggar the question that if one club does get organised as this club has, and they've done it very well, should we not, given the serious deficits we have in netball in the city of Marion, be encouraging other clubs to do the same? In other words, what is good for the goose is good for the gander, but they need to partly help themselves by getting organised. It's something that I say in the interest of fairness and equity.
Well, indeed. I hope that once others hear what Cove and Clovelly Park have achieved, that they'll follow their example. Councillor Valescu.
I'm going to talk about the process more than the application. I think what we want in our clubs, we want clubs that are able to access other funding. We want clubs that are able to raise the money. And we need to be clear and aware of the time frames that clubs have to operate. So if a club needs to do something by a certain time in order for their grants, but also for their season, we need to be able to move swiftly, and that's part of the partnership funding. It's the ability for a club to get money together and not sort of be postponed through certain process issues. Now, I personally think that maybe there could have been more clarity as far as the impact that would have happened with Haller Cove, and obviously wasn't the decision I position the council took wasn't one that I supported, because I actually saw they did get their act together, they tried to get extra funding and they had their own money. So this is the sort of thing we'd be encouraging, and I'm glad that we've sort of learnt possibly from that initial decision with Haller Cove. I guess also with this one here, I guess we need to go out to other clubs and actually see how they get it right. I mean, we need to show more clubs how you get it right, and that means our staff going on there. But we also need to realise that if where we stuff up or could have done things better, we need to mend those relationships with those other clubs. And I think there probably has been some of that, if people think, you know, that this is, you know, there's been different treatment. So I really think we need to do that. We were able to, I think, salvage the situation at Haller Cove to some extent, but I think we've got to learn from that as well.
I'll just ask Mr. Scull if he can assist with any information about how we deal with clubs like this.
Through the chair, we've got a remit to really get better with our clubs and to work well with them, and we're investing in that. We're actually looking for a new person to work with us with the clubs. We've got a very clear message that we can be better with the management of that relationship. So I agree 100% with you, Councillor Valescu, that we need to salvage that relationship and then work for the good of everybody.
Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, the only issue that I have with this motion, and I wish council applied for well with it, is the LED lighting. I see it as being borderline in terms of its said deficiency. We're looking for 200 lux, and on average it's 192. And if you read on page 263, the Wildcats have indicated they would be satisfied with option two being the LED, if the council's preference is to install LED lights. Well, it should be. It should be our preference, because this is the new, modern, hip council that wants to save the world from carbon. The club indicated they will mainly use the lights for training only, and the 200 lux match standard is not critical to their use of the site. The club also indicated their appreciation of reduced ongoing energy costs if the LED option is installed. Why wouldn't we? Now, we've been talking tonight at length about energy efficiency, but we've got blinkers on because we're only focusing on our buildings, and we're not looking at the community interface. So could I urge the mover and seconder, and you'll have my vote for the extra money, by the way, for the LED lights, to actually go down a new modded and more contemporary and climate change conscious approach to this. I'm glad to see that LED lighting has reached the point where we can consider this, because even 12 months ago it probably wasn't. So I'd like to actually convey that through the chair, Mr. Mayor.
Well, you're not moving an amendment. Well, all right, you've had your say. Okay. No, I'm just giving you the opportunity, if that's what you want to do. All right. So the variation of paragraph four. You're moving. There were two options suggested, and you're putting the other one as an amendment. You've spoken to it. Is that motion seconded? Sorry, is there a question? Well, I've been allowing these questions sandwiched in there, so
yeah, just a quick question. What's the difference in power rating between the LED lights and the metal halides? Does anybody know?
I'd have to take that on notice.
Answer, no. Don't know. Question from Councillor Valesco?
I just want to know whether this actually, how it's fit for purpose, because whilst we may think, you know, want to save electricity, is there an issue for it being fit for purpose? Are we limiting what they can do with the upgrade?
Well, I guess all
maybe the liaison people might know more.
Ms Dixon, anything more than what's in the report?
No, the feedback from the club is how they're currently using the courts, the LED would work and it would reduce their operating costs, but they also understand it came at a higher cost to council. The other thing at the moment is if the metal halide would meet competition standards for tennis and netball, whereas the LED won't.
Another question? Sure.
That's a really good one. Can someone explain to me how the light splash is different between the two lights? I mean, light moves in straight lines, doesn't it? So how do we get light pollution from one and not the other?
Ms. Dixon?
Again, I'd need to take that on notice. There was a lighting consultant who, you know, did the analysis as well. We can certainly provide that information to council.
But you may not have all the information you want. Is the motion seconded? The amendment, rather. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. I'll put the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. Hang on. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The amendment is lost. Those who haven't yet spoken may speak to the motion. There being no more speakers, Councillor Pfeiffer to close the debate.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll do so quite briefly. Look, in regard to the funding of this, the recommendation, or firstly, the application and the recommendation have come through the administration, so the recommendation for that funding has come from there as opposed to coming up from an individual councillor. It is consistent with everything that's gone before it. I think I was quite clear on my reason for moving the metal halide lights. They are lights that will only be on for a couple of hours a week, and I think the extra expenditure of 30-odd grand, whilst I'm all for LEDs, absolutely, it's I just don't see it as justified in this particular location for this particular site. And with these particular lights, you would be able to enable tennis if you wanted to as well, which you couldn't do with the LEDs.
All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those, in fact, that's carried unanimously. It's a win for the Wildcats. Thank you. And now we go on to tennis and netball. And just for anyone who missed the forum meeting recently, we had a difficult but positive encounter with Tennis SA and Tennis Australia. The discussion was heading in the direction of giving Tennis Australia time to comment on our on the thoughts which were publicly available in the agenda. Over to you, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. At the top of the meeting, I noted my perceived conflict of interest in regard to this one because I work with a guy who is the secretary of one of the tennis clubs. I note, however, that particular conflict of interest is in relation to points 9 and 10 only. I was wondering whether there's any chance of separating that out. If not, I'd probably prefer to leave the meeting. I don't think I have to, but I'd prefer to. But if there's a possibility of doing those two separately, I'll figure it out.
All right. I want to hear what the motion is before I act on it. Accept it. Councillor Blescu, what were you going to move?
I'm going to move that this report be put on hold for up to 3 months to allow appropriate feedback from stakeholders, including Tennis SA and Tennis Australia. So it's not limited to...
Well, I think you have to... I'll ask Ms McKenzie how your wishes could be accommodated in a motion.
Through the Chair, if the motion on the screen is to defer it to up to 3 months and that becomes the motion, then we can do it that way. If it's an adjournment, it needs to be to a specific meeting.
The first one, please.
Yep. So that's in order. Deferred for a period of up to 3 months to allow further consultation
with the appropriate peak bodies.
With the appropriate peak bodies.
Well,
that'll do. Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Worship. When we had the elected members forum last week, we were going to provide Tennis SA with a copy of this report. Was that done, and did they have any comments back already?
Mr. Valentine.
Through the Chair, yes, they were made aware of the report and how to access it, but no, we haven't had any response.
Thank you.
Just a clarification on the motion. Could we put a comma after further consultation and then put including with the appropriate peak bodies? So that doesn't limit it.
Is there any staff costs involved in this process? Right. So we're pretty much back at the recommendation by the administration when the council last dealt with this issue, are we not?
Well,
point of clarification, the in number four that's listed there, the Seagham Heights Tennis Club's not active, and the party would be the Dover Square Tennis Club instead of the Seagham Heights Tennis Club, because the Seagham Heights Tennis Club haven't been active for 5 years.
Sorry, we're not... It's not a matter for debate, but thanks for the information that can be incorporated into the process. All those in favour, raise your hand. Although that's carried unanimously. So we'll come back with more on that. We thank you, Mr. Valentine, and we now go to the Housing Diversity Development Plan Amendment. Very exciting progress has been made. Page 286 of your agenda. Councillor Pryor.
Absolutely. Gives me great pleasure to move as written. The administration staff in particular have been working very, very hard on this. I think we have a good reflection of what the Urban Planning Committee is happy with. DPA goes through, it's not going to keep everybody in the council happy, but I think it's a lot better than the current plan we have if we can go through the whole DPA. And this is just step one. So I encourage everyone to support this, and hopefully we can allay some of the issues with traffic and development that we don't want through the council.
Just very briefly, just to clarify, this is just a statement of intent, so it's just a brief overview of what council would like to do, which is pretty much has been formed on everyone's opinions to try and look at the way we develop areas within the city. If the minister approves this and he feels that we're on the right track, then collectively we'll have to debate the nitty-gritty of which areas, right down to street level.
Any other contributions? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. So now on page 326 of the agenda, public toilets. And I have got a question on this one before we get into it. The motion refers to a five-year programme of works, and that appears on page 330. And I'm not sure if this has been covered in ward briefings or not, but I'm not sure of the reasoning behind placing the priorities in that particular order. I can see a couple that I might have switched around, but it would be useful, I think, to have some explanation of how those priorities have been arrived at. Ms. Clutter.
Thank you. Through the Chair, the priorities have been reviewed in line with the three-year works program that Council endorsed at the end of April, as well as a review of the existing toilets and any further priorities that were coming up in light of a future works program.
Okay. Councillor Crossland.
Can I please...
You seem bursting to move on this.
Could I please move as printed, but as Councillor Gard has alluded to, I don't think the whole of life cost is over $2 billion. I think it's probably three... Looks a bit like three too many zeros on the end.
Yes. Staff have picked that up. They've earned their money tonight. You'll see... The motion as printed on the screen refers to a mere $2.734 million. Is that seconded? Councillor Blescu, did you wish to speak?
Look, I just want to clarify in regards to the works plan for the 2016-17 year. what we expect the turnaround to be for the toilet, a second toilet not being available on Duncan Avenue. So will there be a period where the toilet will be relocated to, the second toilet will be relocated to Oaklands Estate Reserve before the inclusive toilet facility is ready at the Touched by Olivia Foundation playground on Duncan Avenue? And just before I get the answer, when we got the information about usage for this, it was actually pointed out that those toilets both had pretty high use. One in particular was towards the higher end. So I just want to know, there'll be extra demand for one toilet, so I just want to know the time frame for that first before I speak further.
Ms. Gladham.
Thank you. Through the Chair. We'd be looking to keep the toilets as is at Hendry Reserve until the inclusive play space toilet is installed. When that is operational, we'd look to relocate the additional toilet at Hendry Reserve to Oaklands Estate Reserve.
Councillor Valesco, anything further?
Yeah, look, I think that with some of these reserves, having those extra toilet facilities will increase their usability, and especially, I do support relocating an extra toilet to the Oaklands Estate Reserve. I think it's been great that we've been able to put one in there, and one that I guess is, more designed to be in line with the intended use of the toilet, and I think that's important. So hopefully we can discourage, the sort of behaviour that we don't want in our public space. I guess private behaviour should be in the private space, not in the public space, and not that space anyway. That's all I've got to say.
Well, I'm spaced out after that. Now, are there any questions? Councillor Byram?
Thank you, Your Worship. Same page, so that page 330 on looking at the when the toilet's being put in. There. I just wanted to raise a question on the time frame for putting in the new toilet at Capella, because I note that we had identified to demolish the one at Nanningay because people had to walk so far from Capella up to Nanningay and it was in very bad condition, but we wanted a toilet block at Capella to replace that for where the sporting facilities are, and yet we've got a 2-year difference in time frame from the demolish to the installation of the new one. So I just wanted to question that time frame. Thank you.
Ms. Clutter.
Yes, certainly. Through the Chair, we have in the works program the Capella Reserve planning and consultation and design in the 2017-18 financial year, with construction the year following. So that would allow us the time to plan and design and understand and work through an appropriate location for a toilet facility at that particular site in the 2017-18 financial year, followed by works the following year.
Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I've got to ask the question, in terms of moving these toilets from one part of the city to the other, no matter the distance, we had one moved to the Oaklands Estate recently. How much did that cost again?
It cost between $70,000 and $75,000.
To have one moved. Now, we're going to do it again, Mr. Mayor. It's about $150,000 worth of toilet movements in the city, so to speak. Now, the point I'm getting at, Mr. Mayor, the council is pretty flush with money at the moment. Why are we wasting the ratepayers' money on shuffling toilets around at such a cost when we can just buy a new toilet, keep Councillor Valesco happy, keep the councillors down south happy who wondered where their toilet went? Honestly, this is absurd. The cost involved in moving these toilets is massive. You know, the cost of moving those two toilets alone could have almost bought a new one, which are pretty expensive. So can I actually beg that the council desists from this practice, that if we need a new toilet, buy one, install it, but don't keep shuffling them around. Mr. Mayor, at Oakland's estate, we've gone from 3 sit-down toilets and a trough to 1. Now, people are asking me, why have I got to queue up with my son to use a toilet when before, even though it was not the most hospitable environment or pleasant environment to go into, there was no queues, you could just literally go straight in, providing there weren't people inside. So I'd like to know why we can't actually, particularly when we have, flush for money, I said that tongue-in-cheek, but we've got money to do that. Why are we spending good money after bad by moving toilets around the city at such a cost?
Ms. Cladderham, can you explain the economics of toilet relocation, please?
Sure. Through the chair, we've reviewed all the ex-loos and the 4 remaining brick toilets. We've had a look at the statistics of usage and have found that the council decision made in December around the Pavana ex-loo relocation, I think, was informed by the usage of that toilet, which is relatively low in comparison, relatively low for both units in comparison. And so I think being able to look at the data and look at how well utilised these facilities are is assisting to inform where we need to provide these facilities. It's actually saving some money by relocating the toilets in the long term, with the whole of life cost proposal of an ex-loo being $605,000. So at the end of the day, we're looking to make the most of the investment and in these particular facilities, and provide options for council's consideration in relation to toilet facilities across the city.
So because it's cheaper to relocate than build a new one, you're inclined to move toilets from where people don't need to go to where they do need to go?
Absolutely, and that is something that might vary and change, because as we saw at Pavana, we thought that that usage may have declined because of the investment that actually occurred at Glade Crescent. So whilst it might have been quite a popular reserve, the visitation perhaps had dropped off because of the investment in open space in other locations, which may occur over the life of the reserves and these facilities from time to time.
How long does the people or the users of Oakland State Reserve have to wait until they get a second toilet?
Well, Councillor Hull, I'll take that as your third question, but it's not really a question for staff. That sort of decision-making is in the hand of council itself.
Well, I welcome that answer, because if we have the power tonight to put our hands up to spend a bit more to actually expedite the provision of a public importance, somebody might want to go. The number of people using these toilets is one thing. The number of people that have a long way to go to find another one is another matter. So I would like to know if we can have the possibility tonight, right now, to actually even put another toilet, new toilet, not moving one, another new toilet on the list. Is that a possibility?
Well, of course it's a possibility, but from a priority and budgeting point of view, it's probably not good governance. But it's up to you.
Well, is the money there, Mr. Mayor?
Who would like to answer that? Mr. Minister?
Through the chair. As was discussed by Mr. Barmall earlier tonight, one of the decisions made earlier this evening will result in council going into a funding deficit for next year's budget. So should council choose to do what you're suggesting, Councillor Hull, then yes, there's money to do that, but you'll be going into a further funding deficit for next year's budget.
So, Councillor Hull, it's become a bit blurry whether you've spoken in the debate or just asked your three questions, but I'll give you the chance to move an amendment if you want to. Councillor Hutchinson, you've got a question.
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Your Worship. A previous motion, I recall, in relation to this very issue that Councillor Hull's raised, was around getting statistics on the usage of the ex-loos and then bringing those back to council in due course. Can I be advised when that's going to happen?
page 331. You've got all your comings and goings there.
Oh, okay.
For the Oaklands estate, though, we still don't have figures on that. That's my point. That was the one I was in particular.
We got through the first month's usage today, actually, and we had 746 for the month of May.
Any more questions? Councillor Westwood. Table, the second last line, why isn't there some expenditure in that year rather than not? Could that be moved forward for 2021 instead? Ms. Cladow?
Sorry? Or
anyone else? Clarify the question. Just page 330, there's mm-hmm. the table. In 2019-20, there's zero expenditure. The question is, the Hugh Johnson one, for example, why can't that be brought forward a year?
Yeah, through the Chair, we are looking to do the planning for Hugh Johnson in 2019-20, therefore wouldn't be in a position to actually spend the capital money until 2021.
Now, a really curly follow-up. I know that it's exercising Councillor Westwood's mind. Why wouldn't you do the design a year earlier so you could do the capital expenditure a year earlier as well?
The planning, in terms of the resources and the works program that council has adopted, 2016 to 2019, hasn't accounted for the planning for Hugh Johnson Reserve within that, within the available resources currently.
How infuriating. But Councillor Westwood, over to you. Anything further? Sources in planning earlier, sorry, is that what you said or not?
Effectively, yes. We've got a works program that's adopted with resources and projects, 2016 to 19. It doesn't include Hugh Johnson Reserve. We're looking to bring that one in for the planning in 2019-20. And therefore be in a position to do the on-ground works the following year.
Well, look, I'll leave it at that for the time being. Thanks.
Yeah, well, can I just ask Mr. Scull if he's got anything to add about this allocation of resources? I mean, I'm sensing a little bit of frustration around the table with that list.
Through the Chair, I have to rely on my staff for understanding the resource capabilities and capacity they have, so I could take that on notice to have a look at whether there is any option to bring the planning forward to the year 18-19, but I'll have to take that on notice.
Okay. Councillor Valeska.
Got a question. If we're not doing anything in 19-20, and it'd be great if we could, do Hugh Johnson Reserve, where does that free up any money, and is there the possibility, does that mean that we could actually purchase any new toilets for other places, or is that just we've allocated the whole budget for that period and we've front-loaded some of that funding for the first few years?
Ms. Cladahan.
Through the Chair, there's always the possibility to review our works program and programming, but it would need to be done in consideration of the resources available and the funding, the capital works funding available in those particular financial years. So what you'll see in this this program, the capital investment and the money against each financial year, the planning comes the year before. And quite often we need to do the planning to understand the issues and association with the other reserve facilities so that we can get the location and the needs and understand the needs of the community whilst installing these toilets.
Okay. Councillor Hull? Oh, yeah.
Another toilet for the Oaklands Estate Reserve. as soon as possible. The justification for that, Mr. Mayor, is if members look at page 331, you'll see that the month of May, and this is what we're talking about, month of May, and it might not even be a complete month, I'm not sure, but 700 blows away any other usage in the city. Blows it away.
Just to clarify.
Ms. Cladderham, to clarify.
Just to clarify, without those figures being in front of you, it's actually the fifth highest usage toilet for the month of May.
The fifth highest, 700.
Yep.
Fifth out of how many?
Oh, I see. So I'm looking at May 15. Okay,
Ms. Cladderham, fifth out of how many?
Yeah, must be 12 months behind.
How many total?
15.
Okay, fifth out of 15.
Right, so it is still high. And in the summertime, Mr. Mayor, as you know, the use for this reserve will be considerably more.
Can you just, I mean, you really need to bring amendments up in writing or be very clear about what it is.
So well, I just wanted to take up the Chief Executive's suggestion that could be brought forward.
Can you please be precise about the wording? What exactly do you want to... Look at that table at page 330. What would you add to that?
Well, essentially, the well, we need to actually... there's really no way around this without adding another toilet. I don't want to cut short anywhere else.
I understand that's what you want to do, but tell me where on that table you want to make some addition, please.
Oh, well, it's the addition of another toilet in the 2016-17 period. So it's another $175,000.
So if we added another dot point that said new toilet at Oakland's Estate Reserve...
Yes, and in that way we wouldn't have to relocate the one from Hendry Street, and I think Councillor Lusky would welcome that.
Well, I think you better. I mean, this is just becoming
because
a mess.
As,
I mean,
well, Mr. Mayor, as
not,
I understand,
not a good way to do it.
The touch by Olivia.
Or
is
order, yeah, Councillor Lusky.
When the Touch by Olivia Foundation build their inclusive toilet, we will still have two toilets in Hendry Reserve. Then the second toilet, which is not an access toilet, will be moved to Oakland's Estate, bringing the total of two toilets in Oakland's Estate, replacing the toilet block, but also one toilet at the recreational plaza where the skate ramp and things are as well. So there'll be the three there, and there'll be the two. So in the same financial year, so I'm happy with the two, because one will be inclusive and one will be, I guess, not as inclusive, but people can still use it.
Councillor Hull, I think we've got your amendment clear, because if we add the dot point to the table, then the motion as printed, paragraph 1, is okay, except that we won't know the capital funding or the whole of life costs.
Mr. Mayor, I have to ask this question. With the Touched by Olivia situation, it is going to be behind a fenced area. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. Well, I've been to these reserves before interstate.
No, before you go on with the debate, we've got it. I'm still not totally clear on your motion, because you would need to replace the dollar amounts in paragraphs 2 and 3 on page 326. You see that? I just want to ask Mr. Mifsud's advice on how your amendment could be affected and what impact that would have. Mr. Mifsud.
Through the Chair. In order to do that, if you look at recommendation 2, you would need to, based on what I'm hearing from yourself, Councillor Hull, add on $175,000, but you would have to remove the amount that's in the table at the moment relating to the transfer of one of the toilets, because you're suggesting it would be in lieu of that. So you'd be adding on $175,000 and removing whatever the amount is for the transfer, $75,000, so effectively a net addition of $100,000. And the whole of life costs, Yeah, I don't know how much it is off the top of my head, but I would just go with an average of what it is for the amount of toilets we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Appendix C. Yep. Great. The one where you need a microscope. Thanks. Yeah, and certainly through the chair, I'm comfortable in doing that, and we can say in the order of, and then that gives the necessary flexibility. Yep, it's got estimated there, so that's fine. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Another 273,000. So you could virtually call that. Yeah, you made it 3 million.
You did that. Mr. Mayor, in speaking to this, I've already identified that it will save the cost of moving a toilet. In terms of the Hendry Street one, can I just pose this question for everybody? Given that we've identified that is a high use area for toilet use, and I know why, because it's well known by taxi drivers and driving school instructors. Do we really want taxi drivers, or do taxi drivers and driving school instructors really want to have to go into a kiddie's playground to go and actually... Yes. So there's some practicalities there that don't mix. And I just think that if that is providing a good service there, because taxi drivers and driving school instructors are members of our community, okay? They might live elsewhere, but it's still a service to the community. I don't think that we really want to be encouraging them to go somewhere where they won't feel comfortable and where mums and dads won't feel comfortable having men coming into those areas as well who are not identified. So I do struggle that, you know, you're in a council that's actually got a margin of money that's identified in the budget. We identified that earlier tonight. We're in a comfort zone in terms of that. And yet we're struggling to provide the most basic of community amenity, being a toilet block, particularly when we've replaced a toilet block that was infamous in terms of activity there with a more modern amenity. But there's only one. And the numbers, we already identified that the numbers of use is going to be high. Everybody agrees with that. It is a regional facility, Mr. Mayor, the Oaklands Estate Reserve. If you go to Holdfast Bay and go to one of their regional areas near the foreshore, there will be two toilets there at least. I'm only asking for what other council areas supply to their communities.
Thank you, Your Worship. I understand what Councillor Hull's saying, but I think there's an important question here. By taking away the relocated toilet and putting a new one in, what is the time frame? Is it going to be quicker to get the relocated toilet in, or is it quicker to put a brand new one in? Because that will affect the issue.
Ms. Cladham.
Through the chair, the new toilet, the inclusive play space, is not planned until it would be towards the end of next financial year, so May, June. However, we would still have a toilet on site at Hendry Reserve. There would only be we can delay the relocation of the toilet, or we can bring that forward. There would always be a toilet on site at Hendry Reserve and also Oaklands Estate Reserve.
A question from Councillor Crossland.
Okay. Yeah. So the relocation of the toilet would be a 4 to 5 month process. A new toilet would be about the same.
Councillor Crossland.
The relocation question. Would be
order.
After
order. Councillor Crossland has the call with a question.
So just to clarify, at the moment, the last recorded usage for the Oaklands estate was just about 750, which means it's only getting 9,000 per year. Has to raise the question, why have we already allocated a second toilet when the usage is nowhere near five of the others, which only have one toilet?
Ms. Cleverham?
We're responding to repeated calls to provide a second toilet at this particular site. There is the option to have a look in terms of the statistics from for the coming months.
Yeah, so basically we won't be rushing in until we...
Order. I mean, this is just question time. Whether the next point to deal with is whether there's a seconder to the motion. Is
follow up with just one brief question.
Well, I didn't think it was going to be a question, but please follow up with a question.
What I remember when we last had this topic before us, I think you mentioned the number of visits that one toilet facility could accommodate, and I thought it was over 20,000.
Through the chair, I don't recall making any comment in terms of how many visits a toilet could accommodate. In looking at the usage per month, based on the City of Marion exclu usage statistics, a toilet that's getting greater than 550, we've said, is a high use.
Is the amendment seconded? Councillor Pryor, did you wish to speak to that or the motion? Then I put the amendment, new toilet replacing the relocation toilet at Oaklands Reserve. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? The motion is defeated.
The amendment.
The amendment is defeated. Thank you. Sorry, I've been going 13 hours straight, but it's getting a bit like that. But the amendment was defeated. Is there anybody who hasn't spoke? Just about everybody's spent their penny on this one, I think. All right, the mover to close the debate.
Yeah, thank you for everyone's contribution. I know this has been a topic at ward briefings as well, so there has been previous opportunity. And in fact, looking at statistics, if there was anywhere that needed a second toilet, it would probably be the Jervoy Street boat ramp, but that's here and there. That's another mission for Kenny in the future. So I think we'll just put the motion as is. Thank you.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Now, members, before we go on, we really do have to make some sort of a decision about the order of business. As you know, there is at least 2 hours more business, and in my estimation, and we're due to finish in 20 minutes. So. I do acknowledge a couple of people in the gallery, particularly related to the Living Ghana Centre review, so that's one item that we could bring forward. I think what we're heading to is a special General Council meeting to clear some of this backlog, because there are some other items which are fairly timely. Just informally, any members got some suggestions on that? Deputy Mayor Valescu?
There are people who have patiently waited in the gallery, I think, getting that one done first, and then maybe having an extension of time for the other essential time-critical items that need to be dealt with.
Go with that. All right. With the leave of the meeting, we'll go to the service review of the Living Ghana Cultural Centre. Page 369 of the agenda. So I noticed that the service review process talks about providing a
concise history of the service, so we've certainly got that in our 116-page report. I'm looking for someone to move and incorporate either option 2B or 2C. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. Can I move option 2C, where we look for a private tender, please?
Right, so that's the motion that appears on page 370, but using the 2C instead of 2B. I'll just ask first if that motion is seconded. Seconded. Councillor Telfer?
Yes.
I'll come back to you, Councillor Telfer. Councillor Crossland, up to you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just very briefly, we all want to see the LKCC thrive. It's a valuable asset both for the Kaurna people and for early settlement. In fact, we've got two state heritage buildings on that site. It's had a bit of an up and down history, but really has never achieved its potential. We've given council staff, they've had a good 10 years at trying to develop the site, and unfortunately it's actually gone into decline over the last 12 months and isn't improving. I'm keen to see some people with the expertise, the motivation and some business acumen get involved in this site so we can actually achieve something and develop it. But I'm also keen to make sure that it is done in consultation with the Kaurna people and that there is a plan included in whatever tender council looks at to actually achieve some form of working together and possible total handover in the future.
Councillor Telfer.
I support 2B because I think it offers for...
Sorry, Councillor Telfer. Councillor Crossland has moved the motion with 2C, and so you may not want a second. Is Councillor Crossland's motion seconded? Councillor Byron?
Yes, I do support 2C, but I would like to have another inclusion with the permission of Councillor Crossland, and that is that a consideration for a liaison councillor be included with that.
Just to be clear, the liaison person would be liaising with whom?
Once there is an organisation that is in, and also the Kaurna people.
Oh, yes.
And the committee that runs the management.
So, Councillor Byram, I'm advised by staff that the process with liaison elected members is that groups are made aware of the fact that this is a possibility and they themselves then ask for a liaison person. And if that occurred under any of the options, then that could be accommodated at the time. So it may not be necessary as an amendment. It's already part of our policy. That's what I'm told. So, did you wish to speak further? Okay. Is anyone speaking against the motion which incorporates option 2C? Councillor Blesky.
Look, I think the important thing we've got to realise it is we need to do this respectful of the community and the culture we're seeking to preserve. And this isn't supported by the Kaurna community. So why would you... Well, I guess it's us imposing what we think's better for the Kaurna community, and I'd be more comfortable with 2B or a melding of 2B and 2C. But I think it's really important that if we've got a cultural site, that we do it with the blessing of the people who represent the culture we're seeking to preserve and to celebrate. So for that reason, I don't support it. Another reason is that if we don't find a tender, we're back where we started and we've just, aggravated a significant group of people in our community. So I think there does need to be some changes. I think there does need to be some improvement. We have lost a pivotal staff member, a staff manager, I believe, who was responsible for that area. But we did have a manager that was in charge of the swimming pool and this, and this probably wasn't the best management model. So I think that, you know, that there were some issues, that there are things that we can explore to make it better. Definitely. But I don't think this is the way to go based on those reasons.
Right, I'm strictly enforcing the for and against meeting procedure. So
can I ask a procedural question?
Question?
Would the chair accept 2B motion as an amendment, or is it conceded as a direct opposite?
I would call that a direct opposite. So if Councillor Crossland's motion fails, then we could move another motion, which could be around 2B.
In terms of the tenderers, can you give us some advice as to possible tenderers? Could we have tenderers being a football club, a church? What are the possibilities, just to help me understand this, in terms of who might tender for such an operation? And is there any restrictions or guidelines as to what the centre could be used for by those tenderers?
I think you'll find in the report there are some guidelines about that, but I'd ask Mr. Lyons to add to that.
Councillor Hull, we of course have deliberately not listed any names in the reports, but we have explicitly said, and for example on page 405, that the sorts of tenderers that could come in would be expert conservation, cultural and tourism operators. We do have a couple in mind, but we haven't named them.
Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I support Councillor Croxland here. I'd actually like to see who else is in the market. I mean, we in council are by no means experts, but I don't think it hurts us to find out who's around. So I'll be supporting this.
Is there anyone then speaking against the motion? Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I tend to agree with Councillor Valescu. I just have to question, what is this all about? Is this about us seeing this as some sort of business venture by the council, or is it to actually acknowledge that we are not part of Terra Nullius? This is actually the land of those people. All of these welcome to country speeches, there's a crop, in my opinion, because we don't walk the talk. And we've got an opportunity, we've had an opportunity, and we will have an opportunity with this project to show that there is some meaningful relationship here and acknowledgement. Look, sure, it hasn't probably run as well as we would like. But we've got a lot of sporting clubs that aren't doing too well either. So we've got a lot of parts of our own operations that aren't running too well. So the Indigenous community is no different to a lot of our operations, Mr. Mayor. There's room for improvement. There's no doubt about it. But look, this is probably the first opportunity where they're going to have an opportunity to make a go of it by themselves instead of us holding their hand. They don't want us to hold their hand. I'm sure they don't. And let me go back to when the grant was first done. I signed off on the grant application for this building, by the way, that went to the federal government. But to his credit, might be one of the few things he's done in the seat of Boothby, but Dr. Andrew Southcott dispatched that off to Canberra for the grant funding, to his credit. Now, it was built. Now, did the federal government expect us to actually cast a view about how it should be used or who should use it? It was expressly given as part of the year of centenary for the community of the Kaurna community to actually improve their endeavours in our community, or in their community. So I just find what we're talking about now abhorrent to the aims and objectives of that centre, And it shows some, it shows another example where we really have a long way to go to fully understand the Aboriginal people, their displaced people, and they're living in a community that doesn't fully understand where they've been or where they want to go. And I'm troubled by that, because the Aboriginal people, the biggest thing that means the most to them is the land, their association with the land. They don't have any, unless they're freehold title owners, like most of us are, they don't have any association with the land, and they don't even have the opportunity to actually use as they wish to actually improve their economic development and their community with the building that was set aside by the federal government in the year of centenary. On the land that they value the most, Mr. Mayor, the Tjibouti Trail and the Warrapringa site.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Then I'll go back to Councillor Crossland to close the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. As I already stated, this is not an option that's going to be disrespectful in any way to the Kaurna people. In fact, I'm hoping that they'll see it for what it is. This building has been in operation since 2001. After a short period of time of being managed by the Kaurna people, it had to be the management had to be taken over by council. And in 10 years, we've been unable to hand the management back to the Kaurna people. There isn't actually an option available in this report, similar to the one that Councillor Hull has mentioned. There is no direct plan or anything in place at the moment to say, tomorrow, this is all your problem, you deal with it, you manage the site, and we walk away. That's not an acceptable option, because that's setting people up to fail. The option 2C is to actually put in place an option where it's a five-year program. 5 years, it's in there. You will get this into a management space that you can hand this to the Kaurna people. Not only that, you can use your expertise to facilitate the slow, staged handover to the Kaurna people. That isn't available in any of the other options. In fact, our staff don't have that expertise. You'll also know it went to the Finance Committee, who preferred the option of 2C, because they could see that this was an actual systematic handover back to the Kaurna people, where and it was also had also was financially viable to council. I don't really know what else to say, and I don't know which report you've read that is different to the one I'm reading or the recommendations of my interpretation. I understand that the Kaurna people were consulted and they thought that 2B was more satisfactory to them. I have no idea. I wasn't involved in those discussions. In fact, we weren't invited to those discussions. So I don't know how that was explained to the Kaurna people that attended those meetings. There's no particular reason. The risks are less with having a managed tender in there, and the opportunities for success are a lot higher. I've heard the things you've raised, but at the end of the day, we've not achieved anything in 10 years.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Two staff members were shaking their heads to what something was said. Maybe something needs clarified. Or
it's not a point of order. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? The motion is defeated. Please yell out if you want a division. I'm certainly open to it. A few people were talking at the same time. Division is called. All those in favour, please stand in your place and remain standing. Councillors Kerry, Cryer, Byram, Appleby and Crossland. Those against... Oh, that's right. Oh, sit down. Those against are Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Hutchinson, Hull, Westwood, Valescu and Gard. Okay,
Let's do it again, since we have everyone here. So, Councillor Telfer to move.
I move as the recommendation with option 2B, and that is a transition to a Ghana community governance model.
Is the motion seconded? Councillor Gard, did you wish to speak further?
Yes.
Please do.
I believe on the journey that this is the important way to go. It is respectful of the Ghana people. It has some new dimensions in that with Lot 707 being developed, there will be a group and skills that can be worked with. I believe with support that we can, in this transition model, move forward. So I'm pleased to move this.
Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think by far the overriding factor here is that we must be in coordination and on the same page as our Ghana friends. I really feel we state this every time we sit, acknowledgement, and this is a very representative site that we're talking about. I do feel that we can do a heck of a lot better than in the past. I'm aware through people like Tandanya that there are some wonderfully successful Indigenous people in our country. I had the great privilege, and still do, of being a friend of one of the greatest, and they are one of the most successful families in Australia, I would say, in business. So I don't think the issue of capability comes into it. It's a case of how we present ourselves and how we develop a cultivation of that centre in business along business lines. And I think it's going to be, if we do it properly, with a new council, I really believe that we will all be enriched by the process. I think there's more to it than just the process. I think it's what we all have to gain along the way. So I would not underrate that human side of it. I'd put it right up the top.
Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Pfeiffer. Councillor Pfeiffer had the call and is moving an extension of time to deal with... well, we might include in that the confidential item and streets back. Destination. That's the one I meant. And the destination play space, because it potentially could have a fair bit of impact on budget. So you're moving an extension of time until those matters are dealt with. Is that seconded? Councillor Carey, all those in favour? All those against? That's carried by a majority. A question from Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask the staff whether what I'm reading on page 44 of this agenda, being the service review considerations by the Audit Committee, is it my correct interpretation that the Audit Committee gave no view one way or another about this very item? Can somebody confirm or deny what I'm reading here in the report?
Yeah, Mr. Lyons.
So how the Audit Committee reviewed both options and said that both options had merit and agreed that both should be taken to Council for
approval. Right. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
I was asking if anyone was speaking against the motion. Or questions? Councillor Valesky.
Did note staff had looked like they wanted to clarify something before, when they were shaking their heads. That was it? Okay, excellent. I just wanted to clarify if the management option actually, whether that excludes working with the Ghana community, getting actually some tender assistance with that to get some external expertise. Does that exclude that process, if they so wish.
Mr. Lyons.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, 2B doesn't exclude that. There's certainly some business opportunity offered by the Aboriginal Business Australia, and through the regional authority model that the Kaurna have applied for with the state government, there's a lot of support for them to gain business planning and that sort of support for this model.
You'll notice there are three options which are set out on page 357 and then now I'm getting confused because there are also two further options on page 358. Ms. Platterham, could you just try and relate those options to the recommended motion that staff have developed, please?
Yes, through the chair. The first table indicates the year one planning and concept design, and the recommendation actually relates to option one, year one, option one, to commence the planning exercise in 2019-20. Which would not add any additional resources and would be able to work that into a works program.
Keep going.
The second table indicates year two and three. Year two is detailed design and year three with contract administration or effectively implementation on the ground.
Okay, so what I'm trying to get at is that the suggested wording of the motion per staff recommendation talks about a particular option, and I understand those three options are set out on page 357, but there's nothing in the suggested wording about external or internal staff delivery. So are they simply consequential on which option we choose? It's not a choice we have to make separately.
That they are consequential, yes. Their options should council wish to pursue this project within the next 3 years.
Right. So if we choose option one, two or three, we don't have to worry about that table? It will be answered automatically?
No, you do have to worry about that table. The recommendation is starting this project and exercise outside of the next 3 years, so it's commencing 2019-20. The tables become relevant if you'd like to commence this project inside the next 3 years. It outlines methods of delivery, whether they be internal or external, and resources required within those 3 years.
What we'll do, members, is this in a two-stage process. We'll choose which option we want, so probably using the recommended wording, but option one, two or three as you wish, and then we'll come up, if need be, with a supplementary option which deals with the table on page 358. So, Councillor Velescu.
Question. Why are we choosing to do this? And why wouldn't we spend the $40,000 towards something we're already doing? And I'll preface it, we've got parts of Oakland's Reserve finished. There's that extra bit that we haven't done. There's we're kind of having a destination place happening anyway. Why do we need to spend this extra money to find one? I just want to know.
Through the chair, this has been raised through the ward briefings as part of the place-based strategy review. The destination place-based has come up in a number of ward briefings to potentially explore further and consider. It's coming up now because should council wish to pursue this and commencing within the next 3 years, we need to set aside additional funding in order to commence that.
So, something I should add, I've shared with Councillor Hull at least when I had a discussion with Mr. Luscombe of the Swimming Centre recently. He indicated that if Council was interested in developing the space out the front of the Cultural Centre, they'd be willing to possibly match funding for a destination play space and to take down that fence that currently faces the Cultural Centre and for it to be a destination play space so that it could be used either for free by people visiting the Cultural Centre or the area generally. Equally, it would be a recreational area for people in the Swim Centre who could come out on some sort of pass or ticket and go back in without additional penalty. So it's come up in ward briefings, but when one hears also that there's a possibility of external partnership funding, it becomes more attractive. So that's why it's come up, but it's entirely a matter for council as to whether they wish to proceed at all.
So we're looking to possibly proceed with works in the Marion Domain complex. Essentially, this is what it's for.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm misunderstood. I'm just saying there are examples like that that could be explored if council wants a destination play space.
Guess why don't we just pick a play space and put the money towards it? Why aren't we just picking a play space, putting the $40,000 towards that instead of coming up with a place where we're going to need to put more money later?
Through the chair, part of the initial year one would be actually looking at the location and place. It could be one of the existing play-space sites. It would obviously be of a greater scale than what we are proposing. It could alternatively be a new site as well. So part of year one planning would be to determine the site.
I just got one more question.
Third and final question.
Thank you very much, Your Worship. Could we still do something like that at the front of the domain area without this happening? Because it just seems like we're going to spend $40,000 potentially spent on something we want to spend millions on, and there's probably not the appetite to spend millions on something new, even if we get half of it funded. It just
I think that's getting into a question that council needs to answer rather than staff, to be honest, whether we want to spend that money or not. That's what the motion's about.
But Your Worship, my question was, could we still proceed in some of these other avenues without making it a destination play space?
Well, then it wouldn't be a destination play space, and the money would be spent on something else in the open space and recreation strategy. You see what I mean? I mean, you don't have to support the concept of a destination play space. It's being presented to council for that. I think save the rest for debate, Councillor Lescu. See what people want to do. Councillor Appleby.
Just had a question. So is Oakland's estate not a destination playground?
No, not currently. It's not classified as that. It's currently classified as regional play space. Destination play space, as outlined in the report, would be quite significantly larger to the value of what we're suggesting is $3.5 to $4 million.
Mayor, I guess the question is, have we got an appetite for doing this? I have my own view about that. And two, if we are going to do it, it is not a small project, it's a big project, and it's a major project, in fact, because it is possibly in excess of $3 million. then we need to actually do our homework and do it properly. So I think if we can come to the understanding, well, we do want to have an appetite for this, and secondly, well, we do, we need to do it properly, I think that's where we can go forward with this. So do we need a recommendation?
Well, now that we have a report, it's true that there hasn't been a motion yet, but if you want to test it, then either there could be a motion that council notes the report, or it could be a motion that just has paragraph one and not two, so that there's no funding attached, and then it can be kicked around as part of the strategy review.
Well, I'm happy to proceed with the recommendation, Mr. Mayor. Chance my hand with this and see what happens.
Okay. Moved, Councillor Hull. Seconded, Councillor Byram. Did you wish to speak further, Councillor Hull?
Yes, well, I do. Look, I think that in our discussions we realised that instead of having a lot of small play spaces with, you know, questionable amenity for the young kids in the community, it was better to have a place to go because people were prepared to travel. I think we all understood that. And there's probably other examples where that works as well, where people are coming from outside our city to go to play tennis in our city now, for example. They'll come from outside the city to go and do BMX. There's lots of examples, and this is one of them. Mr. Mayor, not that long ago, a Messenger journalist actually featured this very issue in an editorial, and for good reason, because there is a community demand for it. It's not just us old guys talking about play spaces. It's something the community wants. Now, Mr. Mayor, I've had the opportunity, because I'm punching above my weight with my lovely wife and kids, I know, but I've actually been to some of these places. I've been to the one at Uluru. It's featured in this report on page 362. My daughters love this place. And believe it or not, it's designed on a pithead because that area was a coal mining area years ago, to a degree still is. And that's about probably, well, 6 or 7 stories high. And it's all partitioned off so the kids are safe. They climb up this enormous height and then slide all the way down. And it's just an incredible place for kids to go. And they were there in numbers. Inside this particular place was also a place for disabled kids, much like Touched by Olivia, in the grounds. So it is very much a destination. It's a great example of what can be done. There is an appetite in Adelaide that's being promoted by the media. There are examples. West Beach have got one now in the caravan park down there. And, look, I think the ratepayers would support this. I think the ratepayers would support this, and we need to actually move on it now because the kids that are out there now, maybe we've got a conflict of interest here. Now, we mightn't have children old enough to play netball, but we certainly have kids that are old enough to use a playground, but I'll have to live with that conflict. But we don't have any good examples of playgrounds, Mr. Mayor, in our city. And you're quite right to identify there's probably more than one site. I can see that, and I think it's something that needs to be looked at, you know, if we're going to spend this sort of money. If we can get money from elsewhere, like everything else we do, we should be grabbing those opportunities. We should be really grabbing those opportunities, particularly if the state government wants to contribute. I hear Doona might want to contribute as well, and I think we need to take that up. So over to you guys.
Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I do support the start of looking at a destination playground. And it is something that is being asked by in the community. But if we're going to deal with a playground the size of a destination play space, we have to do it properly. We do need to investigate it. We do need to make sure it's in the correct location. I've been down and seen the one at Port Nolunga, the fort and stuff down there, and the kids love going down there. They also love going to St Kilda, but we haven't got much in the way of a destination playground in between, and I really do think that we have the capabilities of doing it in Marion. I was recently in Sydney and saw the one at Darling Harbour, and just seeing the kids flock there and just the things that... And it would just be so lovely to be able to have something of that nature in Marion. I also think that we need to look through the investigation at what partnering we can do, be it service clubs like the Port Noarlunga one was done. There's avenues of doing that sort of thing, and we can't do that effectively without going through and really looking at how we're going to do it. So I do support this money being spent for option one to be able to do that effectively. Thank you.
Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Telfer.
I think it's time, after 6 years planning, that we grab the opportunity to get our sports infrastructure in shape. Why we would be looking at $4 million investment in destination play space when we haven't properly signed off on our sports fields that have hundreds of children inadequately unable to play sports. At across the road from Seaview High, we have a letter from the head that says those tennis courts are not playable, and that's a tennis school. And here we are talking about a $4 million playground. Look, we're not ready to do that. We need to get this infrastructure correct for our sports fields first, and then we need to be looking at sensible destination play space, but not on top of four other local spaces. The spacing and the placing is important, but the timing's not right.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Well, the mover may speak in or to close the debate.
Well, Mr Mayor, I have to disagree with Councillor Telfer. The tennis provisions in our city is another process well under train that's had a lot of discussion of late, and I hope that the tennis courts do get addressed there. I've read the letter from the school. In the same way as a number of other tennis courts and netball, that's all. It's all a work in progress. It's not as if we're neglecting it. We all know that we're actually planning and putting money aside for that. So we should be able to chew gum and walk at the same time, Councillor Telfer, with this one. And I think that the community are behind us. Given the media coverage about this, it was a few months back now, not that long ago, I think they would support it. Holfast Bay, the councillor prior actually reminded me, Holfast Bay's had a shot at it down at Moseley Square. Pretty good effort, actually. But, you know, I think that we, as a big council, can actually do that as well. People will travel to go there, and they may well come from Holfast Bay to use it. So just like we go down there, use theirs. So value versus worth, value versus use, I think it's right up there, Mr Mayor.
I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is carried by a majority. Councillor Blasco, what do you have? I'll just give you some advice. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So if anyone would like to, we can move into confidence to deal with the remaining item of business. Moved, Councillor Byram. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously.